Welcome to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm here with my guest host today, Danny. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Excited to be here.
I know. You're my last in the OG series. We've been waiting for this one. That's
sufficient time. I know. You've been trying to like run after me, and I just kept going, can we wait another couple of weeks? Can we
push There's no back more waiting. Here? I made you commit.
Yeah. No. And it was on my calendar, and then this morning I was like, Oh, yeah, I have to do this. Okay.
That's so funny. Did you go golfing this morning?
Yes, I did.
That's so cool.
Yes, I did. And I was like, who did this to me? It was me. I'm my own saboteur. I signed up for golf lessons with the Latina Golfers Association. They have a really good deal. And it's a female-led instructor teaching other women how to play and network. And so, yeah, this is my second week of learning golf. So, and I was just like, but 8 a.m.? You best believe I was struggling to get in my car. I showed up maybe 2 or 3 minutes late, but it's okay. Blame it on the rain.
You're better than me, I'll tell you that. Well, let's get into some podcast announcements first, and then we're gonna get into your story after that.
Absolutely.
Not podcast announcements, Poderosas announcements.
Yes.
So we had Goals for Gaza event happen. It was a great success. Mm-hmm. Somebody, a guest here with us today, was playing as well.
Yes.
But we are having another event officially. Save the date, May 18th at the same park. And just check our socials for like more details and sign up to play or just go support. We're going to be partnering again with the Palestinian Youth Movement. So check that out. We'll put links somewhere in the description.
It's always in our social media. You'll find it there. Anything we're hyping up, you'll find it.
For sure. And other things that we are supporting, Leah is hosting Cheers to Queers, Sips for Scholarships. It's a fundraiser benefiting the 2024 LGBTQ Youth Scholarship Fund. It's on Wednesday, April 17th from 6 to 8 at Or Bar in West Hollywood. So check that out if you want to support them. And also another fundraiser for them, the Loteria Primavera, which is going to be May 10th, a Friday from 7 to 10 in Downey. So if that's a little bit more accessible, check that out. This will also be on our socials in the description and everywhere. We have a game coming up. We'll talk about that later. But Danny, this is your moment. Tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself.
Ooh, okay. So definitely am very proud to be from East LA, born and raised, come from multiple generations. My great-grandparents were actually the first Mexican-Americans on their block in East LA. Yeah. The story goes that the folks already living there did not want them there and tried to petition them out. And it was a Russian family who was like, just let them be. And like, I just remember my great grandma going like, and then after that, you know, they would come over, borrow a cup of sugar and stuff like that. So I'm very proud of my roots and growing up where I did. And from there, played softball majority of my life. I feel like it's like a huge piece of me, right? And then once you stop playing, it's like, who are you outside of that?
I've heard of that with athletes, like they lose identity a little bit.
Yes. So the way I counter that, and now I've been in my field for like a decade. I can't believe it. Like if you would have told me back then that I'd be doing the work that I'm doing now, where it kind of like meshed together my passion for youth development and working in sports, like I wouldn't have believed it. So I'm basically a play equity advocate. So I believe all youth should have access to sports. And from that, it's just ensuring that like whatever I do in my work, like that it's accessible, it's free, it's everything so that kids can have kind of the benefits of sports, which is learning the social emotional learning components, being a good teammate or resilience. I say constantly in my work, like if we don't allow these kids to fail, like we're not setting them up for success in life. Like if you don't know how to deal with failure, it's not going to go well for you later on in life. So like, how do you do that? Well, you do it through sports because not everyone's going to win. So started my career working for Major League Baseball in Compton right when I got out of college. And I just remember like becoming a coach, but I was out there and I went like first kid on the tee. And I was like, how do I put it? Like, I know I could hit off the tee. I know I could do it. How do I tell this kid, like,
how to do it?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like you could be a great athlete, but it takes a lot to become a coach. And just really taking that in as to how you can talk to them and mentor and stuff like that. So going through that, and then I actually worked in after school enrichment programming at that time too. And then throughout the years, it kind of just meshed together. 2020, I got my master's in sport management. And through that, I started to really deep dive into sports-based youth development. And so that's just been a major part of me now, where all of the stuff that I do is through sports and my passion of sports and my love of women's sports too, like, and where women fit in all of this, right? Because for a long time, we did not fit in it. And I think in some way I missed my calling. Like, now you see a lot of the, like, Major League Baseball conversations where it's like, oh, like, women, like, they're celebrating women. And it's just like, when I first got into it, I did not see that.
Yeah, it's like a new movement.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I didn't need baseball. Like, now I'm in my space, and it's just like, I get to do incredible work in ensuring that, like, kids across more than 100 schools get to play sports. So it's cool.
That's amazing, first of all. Well, I mean, you already mentioned softball was your, like, big thing. How did you end up getting into soccer or football?
So, really funny, I tried soccer when I was like 8 years old, and I hated it. and mind you, though, hate it as an 8 year old, right, is completely different.
Of course.
Yeah. But to think back and go, like, why wasn't I, like, not enjoying myself? And I think it's because they never clocked that I had, like, asthma. Oh. So I couldn't do the running.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's a bummer. Like, no one ever caught on to, like, maybe she needed, like, an inhaler or something, like albuterol. So I look back then, and it's just, like, it didn't catch my attention. And, like, none of my family is into soccer. So, like, that's always, like, a weird part of it, right? And for a bit, like, I would go to a couple of games here and there, pre-LAFC. So, you know, the stadium over in Carson. Shots fired. I know.
Damn,
I know some folks are going to be upset. And I have a great reasoning why I stopped following them. But it wasn't serious following. But wildly enough, I got back into soccer, I would say, when they were announcing LAFC as the new club. My in-laws, they're huge soccer people. So I saw that they were already wearing the crest, wearing gear and stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. And from there, I think we got into what, like 2019 it might have been. And like, I was in a supporters group. Or, like, not supporters group, but, like, a student section when I was, like, my freshman year of college. And I would go to, like, soccer games there. But it's, like, where in line does it go where I, like, deeply fell for it, right? And, like, was, like, cool, I'm going to be doing this probably every other weekend.
It's like, for a slow burn.
And I, you know, like I said, I seen the other MLS games earlier. But I remember going with my in-laws, sitting in their section, but looking over at the 3252 going,
yeah,
who is that? How do I get in there? Because I want to be there. Like, that's the passion that I look for. And I'm just so passionate of sports in general that where I can find the peace, right? And I will say it was around 2020 and just all the things that were going on in the world and like, just the political landscape that was going on, I was like, I need to get back to being vocal. Like, I think I got caught up in getting my master's done, and I was like, I need to get back. And I got called back to East Yard. The homie Mark, that fool, he was like, come roll through. And so I started doing my East Yard stuff. And through East Yard, I started doing Tigres stuff. So Los Tigres, El North End. And just time and time again, I am reminded that sports are political, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It is the, like, people get upset, but it's like, no, you watch, I think there was like a really good, there's like a really good documentary on that one, on how much political things were going on, and like a protest of a gymnast, and then you know, the track and field stars who protested and then came back and were shunned, right? Like sport is political. And so finding that through them, right? And just being understand to like come through and be a voice through soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you found Poderosas.
Yes.
Which was like, I'm sure, a whole thing.
Oh, yes. And they announced the team, what, in like 2020?
That sounds right, yeah.
I think, I'm pretty certain, like, the team was announced, like, 2020, and I was like, oh, there's a women's team? Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And, like, I think for me, I was looking for what I had already with Tigres. Like, I wanted that for the women's.
Yeah.
And, like, and obviously, like, it's a women's team here in LA. It's similar as, like, WNBA Sparks and stuff, but, like, I feel like basketball was never really one that I could keep up with, so I was like, soccer would be a fantastic one for me to
once a week instead of three times a week.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, oof.
Exactly. And then I was like, well, are there supporters groups? And at the time, I think there was only one, and I just felt like it didn't look or sound or
it wasn't aligned. Anywhere near
and I just went maybe not, I guess. And once again, that fool Mark coming in clutch, and he goes, "Yo, we got some homies that are getting together and are gonna put together from Tigres that are gonna make a supporters group for the women's team." And I knew exactly there it is. Like, this is gonna be my group. Then this is gonna be the ones that I'm gonna hold it down with in the stands.
That's amazing. Yeah, I like that. Your love for soccer came through your family.
Yeah.
And maybe not the way that all of ours did, right? Like, watching sports with our family growing up, but later your family that came from your relationship and everything. Mm-hmm. That's really, really cool. Because it started with community and ended up with community.
Yeah. I think more than anything, it like really came from the community. I don't think I would have, like, I would have been like occasional fan with my in-laws, but like when it came to Tigres and stuff, like I then was like, I'm in, type of thing. And I think more than anything, Poderosas has given me communities, but more than anything, family.
Yeah,
like it really, I always think back, and you know, that first season and stuff, and how much all of us got close to one another. People thought we knew each other for years, and I was like, I barely met people in November of 2021.
Yeah.
And then like I'm at Perla and Annabelle, their wedding. And I was just so like honored to be there and be a part of that moment, and to know like I'm like, this is family. This is truly folks that day in, day out, like I care about, and they care about me and stuff. So yeah, like I was just really thankful for the space, and it just like became like something I totally look forward to every time that we can come together.
Little do you know, you're preaching to Yorona gang, so it's like we're trying to control our emotions right now. Drying off a little bit.
All we needed was Emily here. I'm sorry, Emily, I love you.
That's so funny.
Okay, and Tiff, okay. Yeah, Tiff too.
Let's manage our emotions.
Bring it in. Bring it in.
We're good. Figure it out. All right. All right.
Like, what was it? The old coaches. Be tough.
Oh, yeah.
No,
what
please
is it?
Don't.
Like, no. Like, we should be allowed to be emotional. That's totally fine.
Exactly. Yeah. You are allowed to have feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's one of the big things for a lot of people going to La Fortaleza, is you literally let it all out and be as loud as you can, mm-hmm. be a gritona, and just like lose it. And it's not frowned upon.
No, I definitely have had so many emotions there. I think the first game got to me.
All the way in Fullerton?
Billie Jean King, like coming out, that video of just like, it's a new chapter in sports. And I felt seen. Like, for someone who did not have a professional sports league to look up to, right? I think I had like the Olympics, but that was every 4 years. And then I was a high school senior, and that's when they announced that they weren't going to have the Olympics in 4 years. And I'm like, oh, well, that's just done. Like, even if I wasn't good enough, like, that dream is just gone. Like, there is nothing to build to or to even, like, a sliver of hope. Like, it was gone. And seeing that video was emotional. And I didn't get to really, like, take it in the first game. I wasn't even drumming by that time. But, like, I got to watch it the night before while we were doing the run-through for the TIFO. And just being able to watch that, like, without any screaming fans and stuff and really take it in, like, it was emotional as, like, a woman in sports. And I'll never forget, like, a couple of games later, there were three girls and they were in the section and they're just waving, trying to get Didi's attention. And she like turns and stuff and they're just excited. And I was like, every single time I pay my membership, like my season tickets, it's worth it because they get to dream about this stadium. They get to play at a higher level, like something that I didn't get to have. Now they get to have. And I was like, it's worth it every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So cute. Well, speaking of drumming and La Fortaleza, how did you get into drumming? Do you like love it? Because I feel like you're always the one that's on it, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't have to wonder where Danny is.
Yeah. You'll always catch me up there drumming. I got into it for season two. And the reason why I got into it was actually in like middle school. I was in percussion for like band and I couldn't play in high school because I was playing sports. And so it just did not mesh to continue. And of course, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to do the sport that we did since we were six? Or are we going to do band that we took up in middle school, right? So I think for me, I love drumming in our section. And one, it keeps me from purchasing a lot of drinks in the section.
The budget.
The you know? Budget. It. You know what? Girl math. Girl math. I am being financially responsible because you can't drink when you drum. Like, unless you're very skilled and you can drum with one hand. But yes, there's not too many breaks that we get for me to do that. However, the temptation is real. Mm-hmm. I found out we got finally Modelo in the section and I was like, oh no, this could be dangerous for me. So then we're going to keep using my car for tailgates to make sure that I am held responsible for those things. Unless someone wants to take that up and rotate with
me. Strategy. I mean, hey, if you ever need somebody to sub in.
I know you got me.
Let me know.
Yeah. So I think for me, when I get to drum, it's like a callback to my younger self who absolutely enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed drumming as a kid. And I was supposed to get a drum set. Like, you know, grandparents, they're just like, you want it?
Spoiled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Sylvia just knocked that out. She was like, nope, where is it going to go? Nope, that's not here. One of my homegirls, though, when we were kids, like, she asked her parents for a drum set. And then so I would go over her house. But then we would have to flip it since I'm left-handed.
Oh.
Yeah, and then she would play her guitar. And that, like, that was our whole thing. But yeah, like I miss it and it gives me like when I get to do it in the stands, it's so much fun. It's just like that callback to being a kid.
That's dope. I like that. I like that you have a background in it. I feel like a lot of people kind of learned it for the game, but you were like, no, this is something I love. I like it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not dope. Technical. Not a technical person, but I can hold down the beat.
You get it done. All right, let's do one of my favorite parts of the podcast, which is asking you who your player of the pod is. Who's your favorite player on ACFC?
Oh, man. It has changed throughout the seasons. I think players come and go and stuff, right?
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Scarlett Camperos, we miss you. All right, go on. Yeah.
Scarlett, there's a lot. Danny, the weather hose.
Mm.
Shout out to the weather hose.
Rip.
Different area codes. I used to throw that out all the time. The shirts were fantastic.
Weather hose is pandemonium. Brilliant.
The shirts were fantastic. But after, and then I know we're going to get into this more about my experience in Kansas City, but after Kansas City, Paige is holding it down for me.
Paige Nielsen, yes.
I was like, I will run through a wall for you, baby. A wall.
She is the wall.
She is the wall. I got to go to a work event, I think it was like a year and a half ago. And she was one of the speakers with Simone.
Aw.
Simone, I miss
Charlie.
You.
Charlie.
I miss you, girl. And it was at like the Rose Bowl on the field and stuff. And to hear her story and the resiliency and like how scary that time was for her of uncertainty and for her to come back and just be this player, like I live.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe the form she's in this year. It's like she's 25. She's so good right now.
I just see her and I was just like, that makes me hyped. Like to be in the stands and to watch you just be as gritty as can be and just taking like shots of like hits and stuff like and still going. Like I was just like, yes, all day.
Yeah. She wants to win. Like I don't think like everybody on this team wants to win, but I don't think anybody wants to win more than Nielsen.
That part.
I really don't. So that's a great player of the pod for sure. Great job. Well, let's talk a little bit about what Paige Nielsen did and the rest of the players did the last couple of weekends in our No Pasa Nada segment, where we talk about everything happening with ACFC.
Yes.
You went to our first Poderosa away days in Kansas City. So the first game we're going to talk about is Kansas City away game on the 30th of March.
Yes.
And this stadium, please tell us about it. This is the first ever stadium built for women's sport. In the U.S., at least maybe in the world. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's how they promote it. It's the first one made in the world. And I just want to say kudos to Kansas City because they promote.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the minute you went through the airport, there was that huge signage that basically said that they have that stadium and they like promote the players and stuff like that. So a lot of their public transportation, too, had the team and
Tabinia.
But yeah, like I was bummed that it was earlier in the season because I wanted more time to like plan it out. And I was like, it is what it is. It's Easter weekend. All right, let's just go out there. And so to go out there and see this stadium, honestly, it was beautiful. Like, and I love they had throughout their city, like they had shuttles picking folks up to take them to the game. Again, it had the same, like, I think one of the school buses said KC baby on it. Like, so I was absolutely living for that. They definitely, we walked to one of the shuttles and they let us all go on. Might've been a bit over capacity. Just a little bit.
A little Dodger Stadium
vibes. Yeah. Just on a lap and vibing and me trying to drum on the top of the bus.
Nice.
just a lot of chants of party bus the whole time with the folks, like Pandemonium, Mosaic and stuff. So yeah, we get out there and I loved it. Like it was just a beautiful day. They were like, the weather is usually not like this. So you're lucky. Like I was excited when we were flying home and to see that we were missing the like tornado warning and thunderstorms for Monday. I was like, cool, we got out. Like,
yeah,
like we're going to be okay. And then the timing of the game. So we didn't get the sun in our faces in our section. I think they learned that, you know, maybe they should tone down the train, the horn. Because it was actually not as loud as we were anticipating. So thorns were basically the study.
Oh.
Yeah, because they definitely put the word out as to, like, be prepared. And you literally see in one of the first goals, like, we all covered up. ears or had our loops in or like our earplugs, and it wasn't as bad. And I was like, okay, so maybe they toned it down and went, you know what? We're probably going to get like a lawsuit or something if we keep it like this.
Bust open some eardrums. Yeah, I feel that.
Exactly. But they are, yeah, it was amazing. They're really intentional. Like all the beer cups, they actually recycle. And they ask you specifically where to recycle it because they ensure that they're taking care of their... I just saw the the inclusivity stuff that was going on for their stadium, right, too?
Right. They have, like, rooms for, like moms, and they have, like...
Sensory.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. No, they're super very cool. They're very intentional. I, for sure, I was, like, the one thing I wanted from the stadium, though, they had, like, the inaugural patch for that one since it's the first season. So I was like, I can't miss that. I do know, though, the chairs, the stadium, they were flimsy.
Yeah, I've heard a lot, and I've hear even some things got broken.
Yes, I will not confirm or deny.
We heard it through the grapevine. We weren't directly involved with
yes,
this.
Yes, I'm a law-abiding citizen. but I will say, like, I was just like, I don't think we thought this through if we're putting the cup holder on the chair, like, on specifically the chair. So the minute the person in front of me sat down and, like, leaned back, my beer was, like, on the floor.
Yikes.
Type of thing. And I was like, we could have done better with this one.
Like, yeah.
I was like, if they could redo something, I would want them to just redo the seats just so that it wouldn't have, like, that came off that. But other than that, like, the vibes, it was all there. Their SGs, incredible.
They seem really nice on the internet.
Yes, yes. And obviously, they were very much as to, like, when the game starts, it's on.
It's done.
But they invited us to their tailgate. And that was really cool. And they were just all, like, so friendly and, like, wanting to hang out and stuff. So we appreciated it. We appreciate the hospitality. And I loved the, you know, like, we couldn't hear them from our section in some ways. So I was like, oh, but they are smaller than our section of, like, just spacing, right?
Yeah, it's not the biggest stadium, 11,500. And they could fill up a lot more, correct. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should have... did like a tier two of making the stadium bigger, but like for what it is, it's beautiful. I love where it's at. Like, and we were just like, oh, this is a Mississippi River. Okay.
casual. Yeah.
Not used to it at all. But yeah, it's a nice stadium. I found Modelo's, and that's what more
and
can
that's
I
what's
ask?
Important.
That like... was really, truly what was important. What would I have done?
They apparently are heavily sponsored by Yeti.
Yes.
So now I'm anti-Yeti by default because VAR was on one, but we'll talk about that.
They sold a Yeti cup for like, I think it had to be like $40 or $50.
But it comes with beer.
But it came with, no, it came with like cocktails in
it.
It was like 3 shots in it.
My Lord.
Yeah, and but you, I forgot what you couldn't bring in. They're like, but you're gonna let us like.
You can't bring in like water bottle containers. Yeah,
exactly. But you could, you know what you could buy? You could buy a Yeti, right? They're worried that you're gonna throw the water bottle at people, but the Yeti, no, the Yeti can do no harm.
For $40, you can attack your least favorite player, like basically.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, capitalism. You know.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the game itself? Our performance, their performance? Yeah.
It was a lot of like, what are you doing? throughout the time, right? And I think for us too, we were just trying to find the vibe of where we were, right? Like, shout out to Chris, who...
Yes.
We had a PVC pipe with a flag on it. And one of the homies was there with their cane and just volunteered their cane. And she straight up just started drumming on the stairway. And I was like, life finds a way. Like, we figured it out. So, yeah, we were vibing on that. But it was just very difficult when, like, it just kept coming too close, like, and just the pressure was on, and you could see it was like, what, like, we're lost out mm-hmm. there. Like,
yeah.
Like, come on, y'all, like, figure it out.
Seriously, I think it's definitely the worst that we've looked all season, that yeah. first half at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it when, like, well, obviously, okay, let's just be yeah. frank. We were down, like, 2 at the half. Yeah. We come back second half and finally scored, like, immediately. Yeah. Sydney Leroux. What was that like, finally getting the goal and getting to,
like... It was just, like, that, oh, my God, type of thing. And, like, the hype was real because we were definitely just, like, whew, like, it's getting harder out here to, like, cheer in our mini section. I will say we were... mixed in with casual fans or like KC fans, so like any seats I guess that we did not purchase, they just resold.
Yeah,
so we were broken up at some pieces, right? Like, and you can tell certain folks were like not having us in that section while other folks like more like playful banter and like back and forth. It wasn't until I think after that, or maybe one more, like folks in that section then started to like get going upset with us. Yeah, like, well, like every time we would cheer, we would say ACFC. We would do, it's like, I think we call it like the ACFC groove, and mm-hmm. it's like a particular beat, and it's like, oh, ACFC. And so the section around us started to do KC baby when we would get to that point. And we're just battling like the whole way, and it didn't get like that until the game started to finally get going in that second half.
Yeah,
because at first they were,
they like, had no competition. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, they had no reason to like banter on it until it turned on like that. So
yeah,
I think for sure, like I what was it, we kept calling it the softball cheer. So like the whole stadium after they score a goal will then together go, we want another one just like the other one, we want two. So whatever they score, they go up to the next number of like chanting it together. Yeah. And they're pretty loud. They have their own thing too. They have their own three clap. And by three clap, I mean every person that comes in don't know what exactly they're being asked to do.
Yeah, everybody's like clapping at the wrong time. Yeah, yeah. I feel yeah. that.
But that, yeah, that, and seeing, you know, Sydney, you could tell that she got laid out on that one and she was pissed. Mm. And we're like, vengeance, go. Like,
yeah.
Like, get us going.
Yeah. I mean, so right after Sydney scores, like, the fastest human on earth goes and scores on us, Temwa Chawenga, who I don't know what the answer to that player is. Like, I don't think yeah. there is one in this league. Mm-hmm. But she goes and scores on us right away. So it's already like 3-1.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know how the hell it happened, but Curry, the yeah. rookie,
yeah.
goes and scores, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and we were hyped.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was in my living room just, like, disturbing my neighbors,
yes.
To say the least. But another standout moment, actually, from your player of the pod, Paige yeah. Nielsen had a goal line clearance that yeah. was insane. I mean, I would have been cheering, like, as if she scored a
yeah.
goal.
Yeah.
And then Rocky comes in, right?
Yeah.
And she has what we thought was the third goal.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, we're tied. And this was several yeah. minutes. I have to know how it felt for you, because to me, like, this was several minutes of us being 3-3.
Yeah.
In the most unlikely comeback in history.
Yeah.
And then it gets, like, yanked away from us. Like, what was going on for you guys? Because you don't have commentators.
Well, we were hyped. Like, we were yelling. Beyond. We were looking at each other because it was like, all right, we're coming back. Like I said, like, it was like, at first we're like, you're lost. You're lost out there. We're like playing like we don't know where we're going for the, like, who we're looking for and stuff. And yeah, when that happened, we were cheering, we were hyped. And then we start to see like the delay of it mm-hmm. all. And it's just like, you gotta be kidding. You gotta be kidding. And you know, there was multiple calls throughout that game, right? And you could tell, like, just on both sides of like yeah. even the KC fans, like, just yelling their,
like, figure it out. Like, what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
That and whole weekend.
Did not know that it was in a Yeti cooler. Did not know.
The way that I was like, grab your Coke and go. Like, what are you doing? I was so mad.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to look it up after the fact. I was like, I'm sure. What do you mean?
It became a meme pretty fast. Yeah. But not only the controversial Rocky goal that was 100% legal was taken away, also a goal that Kansas had that was very likely offsides.
Yes.
Was called not offsides. I was looking at the angles.
Yeah.
And there was no angle available in the VAR for them to be able to say it's clear and obvious mistake.
Correct.
So I however much money they gave that ref, I don't know how they put it in their budget. Maybe it was inside the cooler. I don't know.
Yeti just needs the screen time for sure. Basically. I think that's what they were looking
for. It could be that. But it wasn't the only VAR. Yeah. The entire weekend, I watched all the games and VAR has been on one. It's they changed something and VAR is absolutely bugging. 10 plus minutes of stoppage time for every half these days.
God. Yeah. And, I think of it in the context that I know of MLB and officials there, right? And I know it's you have to, whatever the call is, you have to be able to
proof.
Beyond, but it's the beyond reasonable doubt. It has to be fully clear for you to recall. If it's not fully clear, then you can't overturn. You can't.
Yeah.
We were just living in purgatory of bar purgatory
because it must have felt a lifetime.
It was taking just forever, and it was just what do you mean? Every time it was what do you mean? And then we don't get called, or it's not in our favor, and then it's in their favor. So everyone felt some type of way.
That was tough to watch, but I guess talking about at least we, I don't know, I like that we scored. I like that we scored to me, three times. Yeah.
I guess. Count it too.
I count it.
It's not.
To
it's
me,
not.
That was a tied game.
Yeah, it was.
In my personal, non-professional opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to talk about a little bit about the rest of the game really quickly. Gordon and Thompson have been really, really consistent.
Yeah.
They're great. They might not be getting results, you know what I mean? But they're doing everything in their power.
Yeah.
But this is, this is.
I just remember, I think Alyssa must have been, roughed up by another player. It was something like that. Mm-hmm. Or she might have had something potentially called on her. And just all of us, leave her alone. She's just a child.
She's a baby.
She's just a baby. I know, the folks in front of me kind of started cracking up. Yeah. So it's just because you forget. Yeah. You forget that she is young.
Yeah.
She is that damn good at that age. It's phenomenal.
But we mentioned earlier, this is the first time that the midfield failed. Absolutely failed on us. And Fuller and Howard and Henry, who have been starting consistently, they weren't able to pull it off. And we saw that change in the next game and everything. But flash forward to last night for us against the Chicago Red Stars.
Yep.
That was a lot better. I feel better, the lineup is absolutely completely different.
Yes.
And I'm going to really quickly insert some audio here, but I went with you actually to Lincoln Hops in Atwater Village with the Poderosas and with Mosaic to watch the game. And I did record a few reactions on my phone, so it's not going to sound amazing. But it's not any deep analysis Johnson does on Escudos, but it's just some reactions to how the people were feeling after our first win of the season.
Yes.
So I'm going to play this right here.
All right, y'all. This is a on-the-fly crudo requested by the Poderosas. We just won our first game of the season. This is kind of crazy. Where is Spencer? And finally, Spencer was here. She was there. She was present. And
she was every fucking where.
Okay, everywhere, way up high. And
you know, and she came through. She came through like she does, and so I hope that this, you know, we continue to see her on the pitch and that Tweed, like, fucking, like, puts her out there and starts her. Come on now.
And that was Claudia.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in hot with the truth.
Yeah, dude, feeling good. We're feeling really good. I'm ready to ride this, ready for next week. I think this is, like, such a beautiful, like, shift in the tides. I'm glad that it's coming in way earlier than last season. We don't need to wait until halfway through. You know, we're like, it was getting frustrating. It was like, ah, shit, this feels familiar and frustrating.
And we're coming back home for two back-to-back.
Yeah, hell yeah. So
the girls, you know what? I know that this boosted their confidence, and I'm ready for it.
Fuck yeah. Their confidence, and I think we're always going to support. And, but this is like a boost of energy for us too. Like, ooh, yes, yes. So I,
as fans,
exactly. So I can't wait for next week to be at home, to be at BMO, and to just freaking to have our next win. Fuck yeah! Woo!
Preach. I'm here with Diego. What are your thoughts post our first win of the season?
Yeah, feels good to get those 3 points. We need to be better, though. We need to be more clinical.
Seriously.
Yeah, our midfield is still looking like it needs a little bit of support and love. Our defense and our front line. So I think there's work to do, but hey, I'll take 3 points.
A win is a win.
A win is a win. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Diego.
Yeah.
All right, I'm here with Nina, our residential Brazilian poderosa. What are your thoughts and your feelings post our first win of the season?
Definitely excited because, like, we really need this. It was a very nice game. I was, like, at first I was, like, scared a little bit of the starting. But I felt like they all got, like, really good, and they came together, and they made it happen. Like
they held out.
They did. They really held out the game, and actually, not just that. I feel like they made it like they played good. Like let's say that. Like they. Like, they played good. They were, like, fighting, like, to make it happen for us. Because we really needed this.
Yeah, and I think they felt that, too. I think they felt like enough is enough. And we threw out a crazy line. Like, I don't think anybody expected that lineup. Perichic coming back. Good job, Perichic. We won. That's crazy.
Yeah. I honestly, trauma. trauma. I just... you know, in the last season and going into this one, I'm having, like, just
PTSD
problems. Yeah, just complete, like, are we gonna make it through this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it too good to be true?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To get through that, yeah. Like, it was just incredible. Like, and it didn't, I don't think it dawned on me in the very moment that, like, yeah, this was our literal first win. Mm. I think just, like, that run that we had at the end of last season was, like, something in my head. But understanding that, like, oh, no, like, we kind of, like, have been, like, scrapping at it, trying in season 3. Like, it's been rough.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely had to get very gritty in this game,
yeah.
Which I'll talk about. But let's start with just the starting lineup that game, because they completely changed everything. And, you know, there was a lot of season debuts. Didi Haricic had her first game. So did Nabet. So did Le'Veon. So did Reed. Mm-hmm. And then Rocky and Spencer got their first start. Like, the lineup was so different.
Yes.
And I was scared.
But, like, what is the definition of insanity, right?
It's doing the same thing. Yes, absolutely.
And expecting a different result. So, mm-hmm. like, listen up. Like, change it up.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we were caught off guard and we're really, like, soaking that in as to, like, oh, snap. Like, look who is here. Like, look who, we weren't anticipating that
options?
Lineup.
Yeah.
And so, like, but it worked out.
It did. And I don't know if necessarily I can 100% credit it to Becky Tweed being brave. I think it also has to do with Henri and Riley being far overseas on international duty. Mm-hmm. And the only Correct. One that was kind of odd that was missing was Fuller. Fuller started and played most of every single one of these games. Yeah. She's played really well. Mm-hmm. So I think it was partially that, just international duty.
Yeah.
And also, this might have been the perfect game to experiment because Swanson was out.
Yeah.
And she's kind of Chicago's entire attack, no offense.
No, legit.
I think luck played a big part in this game. Mm. I think we didn't have any luck at all mm-hmm. the first three games because yeah. we had so many shots on goal before.
Yeah.
And nothing went behind the net. And then we had the weirdest behind the net goal in this game.
Yeah.
Like, how did that even happen? I think it defied gravity a little yeah. bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just thinking about this game and hoping that this kind of, like, puts in as to who should be coming through for our next matchup. It's one of those, like, hoping for the best. But mm-hmm. I understand, like, it was an own goal, right? Like, Emsley.
Yeah, it was. But I credit it to Reed. Our defender Reed, she tapped it. She was in the right place, right time, and she went for it. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe it barely like touched that player's like foot or whatever. I can't see it clearly on the cameras, but to me, that's a Reed goal. And on her mm-hmm. first start and first game of the season, like, good for her.
Yep.
Good for her. Yeah. So I mean, I understand why Paige Nielsen gets chosen for that position most of the time. Absolutely. But Reed is a great option.
Absolutely.
She's incredible. Another one that's underrated, Spencer. Did you see the shots on goal that she had?
Yes.
The goal post.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing her out there, like, it lights a spark for me. Like, it's the same way I felt about Simone Charlie. Like, I would see her out there and, like, I have confidence in this team.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. Like, her being out there, giving me that confidence.
For sure. Like, 100% agree. I know we have a lot of Spencer fans mm-hmm. in Poderosas. So, mm-hmm. really glad to see her come back. Really glad to see her having mad shots on goal and to get her first start. Mm-hmm. And she used to be vice captain, but this game, the vice mm-hmm. captain is now Gordon. And she got to be captain the whole game and like did really well, I think.
Yeah. No, really she's one also that I'm like, wow. She's out there. Yeah. Like, definitely, why haven't they called her up for the national team?
Yo! Yes!
Been waiting.
Like,
been waiting.
I'm sorry, but she's better than Kruger. She's better than Dunn at defensively. Yeah. Like, who's better than her other than maybe Naomi Girma?
Yeah.
Maybe Naomi Girma. Nobody else.
Yeah.
Nobody else went against Chewinga the way that she did.
The math isn't mathing for me.
Like, yeah, she's playing. She was Iron
Woman.
My
degrees are in arts, not in science. So I always say don't trust my math. But this math isn't mathing.
No, I trust your math more than I trust the U.S. Women's National Team's math right now.
Literally.
So if she doesn't go to the Olympics, it's like good for us, but bad for you in the USA.
Yeah. Like, I'm so curious as how that's going to play out, too.
I know. With we haven't even talked about the Corbin controversy. I'm going to talk about it.
The pause. I'm going to do it.
I mean, Corbin Albert, this kid who plays in France for PSG, mm-hmm. like, she's really young. You know what I mean? She's like a little kid and she's, you know, probably been sort of indoctrinated into like this terrible culture, this terrible part of the U.S., mm-hmm. you know. But then she gets called up for national duty and she wears a number of number 15, Megan Rapinoe, and then mm-hmm. goes and says transphobic stuff, or not says, says it, but like reposts it and very clearly is like trying to spread that message in her own tiny little TikTok way. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that she went on to play those games and she believes, and I can't believe they let her wear that number.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the disrespect on the number. But Megan was not playing that and immediately called it out. Mm-hmm. What was it? Like, a lot of the Twitter was more along the lines of, like, it's a bunch of lesbians and Alex Morgan. Like, how could you?
Yo, Yo, yes, that was my favorite joke of like
the whole 2024. Like, yeah, give me that. But yeah, like it's disappointing, right? But it's like it's those pockets of spaces of where you grow up. We saw it in season one, right? Mm-hmm. In season one, we had that big...
We had a controversy with cousins.
Yes. And I think more than anything, like, the women's national team being able to nip it in the butt so quickly. And they weren't beating around the bush type of thing. Like, they for sure were just, like, putting out their statements of, like, this is not it. Like, do not do this. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing as to, like, calling that out. But, yeah, I just... In this day and age, right? But it's like we live in LA, like we
somewhat of a bubble, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I experienced that when I was in high school. I played a softball tournament in Colorado, and there was a team from Oklahoma, and they got racist with us. Like they were not liking that we were keeping up. Like it was a tied game, very close. And it was our catcher who heard her, like, go, why don't we call the Border Patrol? And it's like, jeez. Mind you, though, we weren't majority Hispanic. Like we were a very diverse team. But, like, it kind of hit as to, like, we are in a bubble, like, and some folks do not see the humanity in others the way we potentially do.
Yeah, they've had hatred, like, normalized.
And I've heard, like, her mom, too, right? Like, it was something about her, like, even her mom's
posting. She, like, doubled down afterwards. I'm like, bro, what are you doing right now? You're, like, sabotaging your kid's entire career.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
But maybe do that. Maybe she needs that at that point. Like, maybe she needs that yank that if you want to play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
That's... Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious where things will go. I think they've... Also, in my mind, they've sent a message that, like, they're not gonna let the fans bully them into not playing who they want to play. Yeah, they've been playing Corbin quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this is gonna go. I think they're playing the quiet game right now, and that's kind of annoying to me.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Yeah, but getting back to ACFC, just to close off yesterday's game, I just wanted to quickly mention... There's a line that the commentator said that stuck with me, where they were talking about not calling out certain attacking players' names very much. And they're like, well, whose names have you called? The defenders. You know, the defenders are scoring. The defenders are defending.
Yeah.
Gordon is in the attacking third. Yeah. Like, we're not playing very pretty soccer.
Yeah.
We're playing soccer that last year got us into playoffs, but not soccer that's going to win the championship.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm feeling about ACFC right now. Very happy for that win, but...
It's not polished.
No.
It's not where it needs to be as a... Like, your...
Like,
your,
team.
Yeah.
Like...
In sync, understanding. Like, it very much is, like, you're kind of leaning on...
They're improvising.
Yeah.
And, like, going with the flow, which... Yeah. That's
like, I didn't feel as much as I did, but then again, I was in person in Kansas City, right? But, like that whole, like, we keep ending up, like, on the defense. Like, it, like, we're always on our side. I'm like, come on.
The second half, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, like, you feel that, like, holding your breath throughout the whole thing because it's, like, what are we going to do? Or, like, are we going to be able to get through this, right? And Didi did well. There was some questionable, like...
There was more, like I said, luck was on our side.
Yeah.
Because Didi was not awake during some moments where we were very lucky that the ball was not on frame.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
So, I've said this before, but Angelina Anderson has the best hands. Didi has the best feet.
Mm.
I need somebody that has both. I need hands and feet.
Gonna do the Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Is it Hannah? She's our third.
That's
I don't know.
What I was thinking. Like, she... That might be the answer. Again, just kind of like throw it out there. See what, like, try something new.
Which they apparently they are. So we'll see how it goes for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's enough of us semi-celebrating the ACFC win.
Yeah.
Let's get into probably pretty quickly, but the Adelante segment where we talk about our upcoming games. We have back-to-back home matches coming up. So we have a tailgate happening on April 21st.
Yeah.
The game is at 4:30, so we're starting early, 11 a.m. Little brunch vibe.
Brunch vibes. I requested pancakes. I'm hoping
you're getting pancakes. You manifested it. Yeah.
So good.
That's exciting. We got a little like, we got a new little like, what do you call it? A
griddle.
A griddle. Is it?
Yeah, it has to be.
We're gonna throw it down. It's gonna be really fun. Come join us at the mimosas. Tailgate. Yeah.
If you're not into mimosas, that's fine.
I just, you know, I feel like there's gonna be a lot of sleepy people in the stands because that's how I felt about mimosas when I used to drink them.
Yes, I think just be prepared for the sun.
Longevity. Just think about that when you're.
Yes, I'm thinking of Emily R right now, showing off her Crocs. Those like. Double decker ones. I know I normally see Tiff in hers. She calls them the like BBLs, BBL Crocs. So I feel like Emily has the same that like they're all decked out and she was showing them off yesterday and I had no clue. Like she literally bought them for games. And she goes, you know, we're standing there.
Got it. Comfort.
Time. And I was like, you know what? But I do that too. I like purchase electrolyte in the morning before I go to the games. I wear my most comfortable shoes. I bring my sunscreen. Like, drink my water.
Yes.
Like, you have to. It is a whole day
Get ready with me with Danny for the next tailgate. I want to see it.
Our tailgates are, like, I always look forward to them. Mind you, though, I have to get up before everyone, though.
Yeah.
I have to pack the car.
You're, like, in a crucial part of the process.
Yes, which I don't mind. We had some like situations happen last season where water leaked in my car, or like I think it was so hot that like we have sandbags that we put on the banners. Mm. So our banners that are up there, we use sand inside a Ziploc bag, and one of them like exploded.
Whoa!
And we were like, "How?" Right? And so I'm like, "But it's okay. Like I clean up the car and stuff." I just have to make sure who's on tailgate duty to pack up my car. I have to be out there to make sure nothing crazy happens. But yeah, just picking up everything in the morning and then making sure it gets there. And then it's like the last thing to do at the end of the night and take it home. Like take it to normally Daisy's
house. It's a day.
It's a whole day.
Yeah.
My Sundays are gone.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't tailgate on Fridays.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited because I really, really hope that we get some injured players back.
Yes.
Because right now we have Vignola, Giselle Thompson, and Messiah who are injured, but it's not supposed to be serious. But it's been a little longer than I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Endo and Perez. Yes. We don't know when we're going to get them back. We just have to light some candles.
I just need them to start looking into, like, why all these injuries are happening in the space, right? And sometimes I go on my rants because folks will ask me all the time regarding, like, but do you really think women's sports are, like... I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, you have boys playing, like, by, like, 4 years old, and a lot of the girls are coming in at a later age group for, like, sports. Or you don't give them the same, like, quality... like recovery stuff. So like when we think about all the games they're now playing in the NWSL, like we don't take into consideration that maybe they don't have what like a lot of the MLS teams have where they're able to recover and get the support they need, like the quality support.
Yeah.
Because it is, the number is outrageous with how many folks are now injured or having season ending injuries in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think it's pretty related to healthcare in general being based on like men, most of the time white men, especially in this country. I mean, the same probably applies in sports, right? Mm-hmm. Specific sports things, they're all geared towards men, and not everything that works for men works for women, etc. So, yeah, there's definitely something there. I hope that people with actual money do something about it.
That part.
Yeah.
Alexis Ohanian, please.
He's out show here.
You always show up, but show up for this one too, please.
He's talking about it. He's definitely putting his little capitalistic perspective on it, seeing what's going to happen. But that's coming up soon. I'm really excited for it because I think we're on a good, like, we're on a good vibe. We are going against a really tough team.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes against North Carolina Courage. And then, like I said, they're back-to-back. So right after that, that Friday, 4:26, we're going against the Kansas City Current again.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got ourselves in this situation, but that's going to be a college night-themed game. There's, like, special pint glasses that you can get with certain tickets, if y'all are into that.
They posted what schools?
I think you can choose. Like, you customize it to your own school. I don't know, like, if it's every college in the world, but yeah. I imagine it's probably, like, LA colleges or, yeah. like, California.
County.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
Check that out if you care about it. But, yeah, we have a rematch opportunity with them. I think it's a little too quick.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. We've beaten Kansas City recently at BMO, so let's just do that again. You know,
not here for that coaching staff. So,
oh yeah, Freya's coming back to BMO. We're gonna give her a very warm welcome.
Warm. Put that in quotes.
What warm means in this context, you'll find out later. But yeah, that's pretty much it. In the NWSL, there's literally games going on right now. Kansas is playing Gotham, and they're winning. And the Bay plays later, but yeah, Racing Louisville and San Diego tied. Mm-hmm. Orlando had a banger from MARTA that got them the win over Utah. And then Portland is still losing, bottom of the table. I don't know how that happened. Our 2022 champions are struggling.
It was not on my bingo card.
Yeah, I didn't realize we would be neighbors with them at the bottom of the table this year, but here we are. Sorry, I said too much.
But was it a point? It was a point.
Maybe.
A point was made.
Oh my god, thank you for joining me, Danny. We're just gonna end off the podcast plugging some stuff.
Yeah.
Who is your LA business of the podcast?
Hands down. I had to think about it, right? And there have been fantastic ones already on the podcast that I frequent. So I have to give the shout out to La Fortaleza. They are a tortilla chips company based out of East LA. I barely found out about them in the last like couple of years, and it's at my local grocery store, Super A Foods in Montebello. Like, I'm right there border. So when we first started buying it for our house, I was like, dang, these chips are good. Like, it's so bomb. And normally what I do for all the tailgates is I buy a bag of those chips, and then I buy, I think it's like a chicken salad. The Daisy always requests, and I'm just like, Daisy. You know, I'm gonna grab it. Daisy, you ask me every tailgate, and there is no need to ask.
I've never had it. Like, now, you know what? Save me.
How could you? First of
all, I didn't know.
How could you? It's every tailgate. I don't know if it's brunch vibe, but I could still make it happen. But like that, I go and I pick up like the ice for the tailgate at Super A, and then so I'll stop, grab the chicken salad, and then grab the chips. I had no clue until halfway through one of the seasons, and I realized that the chips were called La Fortaleza.
That's hilarious.
Hilarious. I was like, it's meant to be. And then I was one day just like, where are these from? And then come to find out their like warehouse and where they also like can sell from is off the 710 near Cesar Chavez. And so I'm just like, dang, like, it is right, like, in the hood. Like, it's right there nearby. I had no idea, but thankfully it's at my grocery store. And, like, just, it's in stock weekly at my house. And so I buy them every time. I'm like, that is a part of my purchase for the tailgate.
So, summary is drop the Tostitos and grab the La Fortaleza chips.
Yes. And I think they're the chips still. Like, I saw it, like, maybe 2 years ago at Dodger Stadium. Like, they dropped Tostitos and brought this one in. I swear to you, I thought I was being bamboozled. Like, I was like, did someone bring these chips in? Like, because I was like, I've never seen those before. And then when I figured it out, and mind you, the food is expensive at Dodger Stadium.
For sure.
Expensive. Like, I don't like, I bring in my own food for the most part. I don't want to be spending that much money for, let alone parking, right? And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then when I figured out it was those chips, and I was like, wait, those chips with the nacho cheese, count me in. And I got up, like, we already had food. And I was like, no, I'm going to buy these chips because I want to taste how it is at Dodger Stadium. Like, and it's a mini bag. That's why I got thrown off. I was like, where did they get the mini bag? There's a mini bag version? But they were just at the stadium, so I was like, I was living. They're so good. It's like the best chips you could buy.
Good to know. Yeah. Do you have any other recommendations for us?
For sure. Shout out for a podcast. Like I said, like my background is sports-based youth development, so I listen to a lot of podcasts with just coaches talking about their experiences or talking about how what they do and how it's not all about competition and winning and stuff, and how you can teach life skills through sport, right? But one in particular is Center for Healing and Justice Through Sport. They CHJS, they have a podcast called Coaching While Black. The folks, they're fantastic. They just got done with season one in 2023. They actually kicked off season two last week. So just them kind of sharing their experiences, which I absolutely love. So I always listen to them when I'm on my way to work. And yeah.
Dope. I'm going to link that in the description. So yes. Go check it out. Go follow them. Go like, subscribe.
Yes.
And the last thing I'm just going to plug is our social media, because everything that we talked about for the most part is going to be probably there in the story. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Emily. Yes. And that's at poderosas_ACFC on Instagram. And we're also on Twitter, but a little less active.
Yeah. Emily holds it down.
Yeah.
We need to duplicate 1,000%. Her.
Yeah.
I'm just like, girl, how do you manage
this? How? Like, I don't even know if I have time to, like, look at all the stories.
Absolutely. And I'm like, and she still posts. She does everything that she does and still has time to post and repost. And I see her on Twitter, too. Like, she holds it down.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Emily.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the pod, Danny. I hope it wasn't too scary. Thanks to JoJo for joining us.
Yes, JoJo. JoJo's here.
JoJo in the house. Future.
We made some references, but no one.
If you guessed it ahead of time, you're a smart one. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.